Like Roger Rabbit always says, you can't tell him you've already lost your sense of humor.
The movies that you're able to quote when you work from home.
Hey!
This is the Road to Wire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your host, Andrew Laird, Mike Gottlieb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Road to Wire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. Put on your gloves. It's Boxing Day. Is that what you do for Boxing Day?
Your guess is as good as mine.
No, in all seriousness, Boxing Day is a tradition among the lower class in England where they actually get to unbox their presents. It was the day after Christmas, and after they worked the Christmas for the upstairs or what's that downtown Abbey? It's like upstairs and downstairs, right? After they worked for the upstairs. Downstairs the day after, they actually got to unbox their presents. At least that's what was told to me once upon a time. I don't know if it's true. I didn't fact check it. I'm just guessing. It
sounds like a classic Wikipedia lookup.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, everything on Wikipedia, obviously true. And actually, in all seriousness though, a free plug for Wikipedia. They are doing their fundraiser now. I definitely donated. I love Wikipedia. So, yep. Just a quick shout out to the Wikipedia guys. We love you and thank you very much. And let's get right to our podcast here. It's a special midweek edition. I promise I'll do some sort of shenanigans because it's a midweek. But it's for Boxing Day. It's a nice special occasion, the compressed schedule. Let's get right to that, actually, the compressed schedule. We did our rankings, and we were just talking about it off the podcast. We know that we rank some people, even though we're pretty sure they're not going to play due to squad rotation. Let me bring in Andrew Laird here, our expert from RotoWire.com. What do you do with squad when you know squad rotation is coming? Do you try to plan for it, or do you just wait until the last second and just make your adjustments?
Yeah, I wait until the last second. There's just no use in trying to guess how these guys are going to end up playing. I feel like we have enough of a guessing game during regular non-compressed schedules that ultimately, outside of, you know, the Chelsea 11, which I think is probably the only true standard starting 11 throughout the league,
among the elite teams.
Frankly, I think among everybody. There's movement at least two or three players a week for the other teams, and I feel like Chelsea's the only one that really sticks to it. But a lot of that is they've been, you know, healthy throughout, for the most part. So, but I try not to put too much into it because, you're wasting time in your head at least trying to figure out who's going to play when ultimately the managers at this point probably don't even know who they're going to sit. You know, you can have educated guesses at this point, but they're still just guesses. So I like to wait just to make sure I see the lineups, and then I'll set my final guys as soon as as late as possible.
Yeah. And when we start talking about our rankings throughout the show, just keep that in mind that we are, we're ranking these guys under the assumption that they're going to play. And if not, I mean, we wouldn't be shocked in some cases if they don't play, but it's a little bit of a guessing game that we're playing right now. So just keep that in mind for this week, because we know that there might be players that aren't playing. Don't hit us up on Twitter because, this guy's not playing. How did you rank him? Don't do that. So just to forewarn you guys, take it with a grain of salt here. So let's get with the early game on Boxing Day. All 20 teams on the docket on Boxing Day. One game at 7:45. They just played a few hours ago. It was my Chelsea who just dismantled Stoke on the road. They will be playing at home against fellow Londoners West Ham. So we were just talking about squad rotation here, and we're pretty sure after the Stoke game that Eden Hazard, who after taking a brutal knock from
Barnsley
and Eric Peters was the second one.
Peters got a good
lick
on him.
Yeah, and also we're figuring that Diego Costa, there's not enough horse percentage to keep him alive for 2 days in less than 72 hours almost. What do you do in that case? Do you actually start the backups here because they might be a little cheaper?
These guys certainly. I think you can probably get away with starting Drogba. We talked about earlier today whether Drogba or Remy, who was completely out on Monday, would get the start against West Ham. You were confident that it was going to be Drogba just because he's ahead of Remy on the depth chart. I feel like Remy at least gives them the opportunity to go 90. I doubt Drogba does that, but if, Mourinho likes to have Drogba at the beginning of the game, I think that's going to be good value because I like this matchup. You're much more bearish on the Chelsea defense than I am. I actually think they might be moved to hold West Ham, particularly at home. I understand the very quick turnaround from Monday night football to the early game on Boxing Day, but this is a pretty good squad, and that defense is very good. Matic has actually, he had a game off recently, so I think it all kind of revolves around him. If he plays, I'm very confident in that defense.
It's more a matter of, do you think that John Terry is going to play again, for example? Does he play two games within 72 hours?
Yeah, I think he could. He had a goal today, too, so that probably gives him a little
in it. He's got an extra spring in his step. But if the back four remains intact, I think there's a chance. I just don't think the back four is all going to play together.
But even
again,
a back four of Cahill, Zuma, Luiz, and Ivanovic, is that what we're looking at?
That's what I'm thinking. Well, maybe just one of the two being replaced. Maybe just Luis coming in, or maybe just Zuma. But one of those two, I think, are going to make it in the lineup.
So, I mean, but just, I'm still confident enough in Zuma and Cahill in the center, at least, because I don't think Cahill sits.
No, they wouldn't. They would never rest both of them at the same
time.
No,
but I'm not sure they would go with Zuma and Terry, though. So Cahill and Zuma, I'm pretty comfortable with against Sacco and Carroll. I think they're a little more physical than those guys can handle mostly.
Totally possible.
So to get back to your point, I would definitely start looking at backups. Oscar didn't play today, so I think he'll definitely play. And I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, basically, I don't know if I necessarily see him out on the wing where Hazard goes, but they'll, you know, I think he'll definitely be in, and Hazard's probably the one who gets dropped.
Yeah, probably. But I don't think that's the only change in the midfield. I think Fabregas will get a day off. I mean, he might get a day off, too.
So where do they go? Matic, John Obi Mikel, Ramirez?
Correct. I don't think Mikel takes a day off in the holiday season, because he's going to the African Cup of Nations anyway. So you may as well get your use out of him.
So Ramirez probably starts then.
Yeah, Ramirez or Sherla.
Why not both? Give Willian a break? Or is that too much rotation?
Yeah, that might be too much rotation. Because West Ham, we have to keep in mind here that West Ham is still a really good team. You know, you don't want to completely throw a second side out there.
But they're also dealing with a condensed schedule, and they're not nearly as deep as Chelsea. So are we looking at is this Andy Carroll's day off? Does Enner Valencia get a start instead of Carroll or Sacco? Do they wait till Sunday?
So this is the chess game between Big Sam and Mourinho.
Who are very good friends, I believe.
Yes, they are. I'm pretty sure they're talking about this very subject right now over a pint. But this is the classic case where if someone gives a tip that John Terry's not going to start, I guarantee you Andy Carroll's in. And possibly Valencia, both of them at the same time. I think that Gary Cahill, although if athletic, not as physical as John Terry would be on a guy like Andy Carroll. So that's the chess match you have going on between those two clubs there. But, Chelsea can control the midfield too. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. We'll find out.
Zuma's not small either. So, no,
he's also young and inexperienced. Yep. He makes a lot of mistakes. So Carroll is cheeky enough where he can take advantage of those.
But we'll find out.
That it's going to be a very interesting chess match there. And I think that's a really interesting matchup on Boxing Day, possibly the most interesting.
I agree.
And you get it right out of the way early. Obviously, it's two high-ranked teams. But I also think that these teams, you know, West Ham's kind of the poor man's version of Chelsea. Because I think that they can beat you both just going route one, just lob the ball forward, or they can play around you. So I think that's a pretty nice feature to have. Anyway, we'll move on to our second game here. I have one question for you. You said you're not keen on West Ham defenders. You would not pick Aaron Cresswell at all this week?
No. And the reason why Cresswell usually gets, you know, bumped up is because, you know, he throws in enough crosses to make himself relevant. But I'm more confident in the Chelsea defense that I don't see West Ham scoring. That's why I rank Carroll and Sacco and Downing all very low this week, just because I don't think that they're, I don't think they have a lot in terms of goals.
Yeah.
And so, and yep. I think Chelsea scores, which kind of goes against being able to rank Cresswell. So.
Yeah, I think both teams score in this one. I don't think Chelsea's going to hold them out. But, you know, that was obvious in both of our rankings, which you can check out on rotowire.com/soccer shortly after this podcast post, probably. So at 10 a.m., we start with our 10 a.m. fixtures here. We have West Brom at home against Manchester City. Totally lopsided. You can probably start every Manchester City player and not go wrong. And you can probably start no West Brom players and be pretty smart. So do you see anything for Sato Berahino possibly, who's been linked to Tottenham recently?
Not against this defense. Manchester City has been playing really well, and amazingly it's been without Vincent Kompany. So Mangala and Demichelis have played really well. We're starting to see Alexander Kolarov back, who is an excellent offensive option if he plays.
And he got an assist.
He picked up an assist last week when he got his start. It's pretty much either him or Gael Clichy to play on the other side of Zabaleta. But, you know, we're back to this question of squad rotation. We could see a little Bakary Sagna or...
Nope.
Just saying we could. If there's a possibility to play him, you're going to, you know, you could do it at West Brom as opposed to, you know, whenever, wherever else they play after that.
Whatever. but Manchester City do have four straight shutouts here. So do you trust Joe Hart?
Yeah, I love Joe Hart this week.
Is he looking like a true England number one
well,
now?
If you want to, in season-long games, if you want to start talking about the next couple matches, he travels to West Brom on Boxing Day, and then on Sunday they play home against Burnley, and then on New Year's Day they're home against Sunderland. I mean, that's that looks like seven clean sheets to me.
Yeah. Seven clean sheets in a row from the adding for the previous four. And I mentioned this on Twitter either today or yesterday. Like, how good are the young England strikers looking right now? I mean, Andy Carroll's not young, but, you know, Andy Carroll's on form. Sato Berahino, you know, he's been focused upon, but he's looks like he has all the talent in the world. Harry Kane's on form. I'm missing one. Danny Welbeck is one.
Did you say Charlie Austin?
I thought there was. Nope, there Charlie go. Austin, at Chaz Austin, whatever his name is. But, Chaz is also looking very good right now at that hat trick last weekend. I was asking the question, you know, does England need to depend on Daniel Sturridge? Is he even, you know, is he even the number one anymore among those five?
Yeah, my response at the time, which is the same I would give now, is that a fit Sturridge is far better than any of those guys.
Yeah, and I'm not going to try to say, you know, obviously a fit a Sturridge when I'm also linking Andy Carroll in the same
exactly.
So I'm not going to go with that defense here. But, you know,
yeah, they're much deeper than we thought they were 6 months ago.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, where were these guys during the World Cup?
Well, Carroll was hurt. So we know that. But
thank you. But the sky was blue also, except in England.
Berahino was kind of a little too young. I think he's still...
He was still kind of 18 years old.
20,
or sorry, 21.
Kane really hadn't got... Kane played very well at the end of last season, but hadn't really done much before that. I think he had something like 3 goals in the last five games or something like that. Remember, Connor Wickham had a run just like it. So Austin is probably the one... I mean, you know, he had an excellent season for QPR last year, so... But, you know, if you're comparing him to a... guy who scored 23 or whatever, however many goals Sturridge had last year. And Welbeck didn't play at all. So the reason why they weren't at the World Cup is because they weren't who they are right now.
Yeah. And just makes you wonder what the futures of guys like Theo Walcott and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain are too.
Yeah, Walcott got re-hurt during the November international break. So as an Arsenal supporter, I'd be perfectly content never seeing him in an England kit again.
Fantastic. All right, so let's move on.
The benefit
on to
of being
Sunderland.
An American supporter of soccer.
Yeah, Sunderland are at home against Hull City, and normally I would say, yeah, there's nothing much to this game. However, the defensive options for Sunderland here, particularly because Hull has looked abysmal offensively, and Kostel Pantilimon, in 8 starts this season, has 4 clean sheets. That's a 50% clean sheet rate for all of you keeping track at home. And he's looked pretty good this year. And in their last 6 games, they've given up 5 goals, and 4 of them came in 1 game.
Yeah, they look very good. It's amazing how big he is. Like he's
I think he's taller than
Thibaut Courtois. He stretches out and it looks like he is 10 feet tall. But yeah, I think you're playing this one more on against Hull than you are for Sunderland, if that makes any sense.
Well, they also play better at home, and Sunderland would be at home here in the stadium.
Yep. I'm just not sure. Theoretically, they should, and I'm not sure you can go anywhere else other than Connor Wickham. I guess you could look at Adam Johnson, who scored last weekend, but that was his first goal in a long time.
And against the team that he supported
exactly,
as a child.
Exactly, so.
I mean, you could tell. I mean, it's one of those rare moments where you can really tell it meant a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he doesn't care about Hull City, so I'm not sure he's up for this one as much. But I don't, you know, it's not.
Becky, he probably won't even be in
the starting line. Yeah, it'll be, you know, you're kind of relying on either Wickham or Fletcher. It'll be, here's our weekly call for not being Josie. But I understand that.
Did you rank Pantelimon? I did.
I didn't only because I don't trust the Sunderland defense enough. It's one of the, like, I'm literally choosing. I'm not as confident in Sunderland's defense as you are in Hull City's lack of attack, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense.
You can't tell me that one like couldn't pop off of Santiago Virginia going.
I didn't even rank Thibaut Courtois this week among goaltenders. So, I mean, goaltenders this week were really, I mean, it was pretty difficult. Besides for David De Gea, it was pretty difficult to pick five.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think we had very varying five goaltenders. So it was pretty bare in terms of, you know, clear goaltender usage this week. But, you know, as a value, both for Daly, you know, especially for Daly, would be Costa-Pontillamon. He's been playing well, and he has a good matchup. All right, so we've spoken way too much about that game already. So Everton are at home against Stoke. If Lukaku doesn't start, who scores for Everton? Is that actually a real risk, Lukaku not starting?
Well, it's a squad rotation risk.
Gotcha.
So
do you think that the young 21-year-old Lukaku needs a rest?
Well, I don't think anybody plays. I don't think any attacking players play all three games in this period. Like it.
Four,
right. So I think he gets a rest at some point, and it was just a hypothetical. If he doesn't play, and they're playing at home against Stoke, which is, you know, they're a very physical team that's good at home, and this one is not there. So do you roll the dice with somebody like Samuel Eto'o? Kevin Morales is a maybe after recovering from his ankle injury. It's Ross Barkley.
Yet another ankle injury.
We all ranked Lukaku fairly highly. We're confident if he plays, but if he doesn't, or if, you know, he comes off the bench, you never know, but it's not like.
Let's say you guys should speak for yourselves. I ranked them ninth.
That's fair.
So I did not show a ton of faith in them this week. I also just don't, I'm not in love with the matchup either, but I think Stoke actually play very well against guys who depend on their physicality to get by. They see all the things they did to Chelsea today. So, well, Ryan Shawcross can really put a beating on somebody if he wants
to. So does Everton score?
Because it's Everton at home, I think they do. If it was in Stoke, I wouldn't guarantee it. But I don't see it being high scoring. That's for sure.
Lukaku, I believe, is the only attacking player you ranked from Everton. You don't like Ross Barkley.
Nope, didn't like him at all. I also because I'm not sure who plays.
Yeah.
So that's nothing to do with this week's squad rotation. That's just Everton in general. It's been very hard to pin down their attacking midfield three, who it's going to be. So that's been just a difficult thing to do all year.
Fair enough.
Another difficult thing that's been happening all year is Leicester getting any points. They're at home against Tottenham. I really liked Leicester at the beginning of the season, so that's why they're terrible. Harry Kane now for Tottenham, especially in this matchup, you have to think he's a must-start now, right?
Yeah, for sure. We all ranked him seventh. literally all three is probably the only
jackpot.
Yeah, exactly. So he's clearly the best forward option there. You know, you're not going to go after Soldado and Adebayor. I haven't heard of him, from him in about 6 weeks, I think. So
isn't he still recovering from an injury? Or
I'm sure that's what they're saying.
He's got hurt.
Well played. Yeah, it's, you know, it's Eriksen and Kane. Those are the pretty much the only ones. Lamella finally got his goal after we bashed him last week.
Was it another Rabona goal?
I didn't actually see the goal. Actually, I believe it was a howler, if I remember correctly.
That's what I heard. I just didn't know if it was with the wrong, like the weak strong foot or the strong weak foot.
I don't know, but he finally broke his streak. I don't know if that's really technically a streak, but he had played the most. He was the highest paid transferred player in the Premier League to never score a goal. So he finally broke that one, but I still don't have enough of faith in him to rank him ahead of guys like Eriksen this week. Looks like Chadley's finally got his job back, though.
Whatever. I'm so disappointed that ever happened, that he got benched. Anyway, American soccer news. DeAndre Yedlin is officially going to be joining in February, joining Tottenham, that is. You've put an over-under on starts at 2.5. Are you referring to the senior team?
Yeah, this season.
Under. Yeah. Under 21s, yes. He may get over 2.5 starts.
You don't think he can get on the bench? You don't think he replaces Eric Dier?
No, I believe that he either starts or he plays for the under-21s. I don't think they brought him there to sit on the bench.
That's fair.
I believe that when Tottenham signed him, they didn't want him to just, you know, start immediately. I thought this was more of a, you know, let's give him a run, see what he's like, see if we can develop him into a starter.
Kyle Walker's back now, and he was the reason they got him.
That's the reason why, because Kyle Walker and Yedlin play right back. I don't see why Yedlin would start unless Kyle Walker gets injured again.
Which is entirely possible.
Entirely possible, but I'm not here to, you know, say, oh, he's definitely going to get injured. I have to try to assume health at least for the most part.
That's why we like Andy Carroll.
I've loved Andy Carroll since the onset of the season. Sneaky play, that Andy Carroll.
The good news is that Yedlin didn't need a Latvian passport to get the work permit. So I don't know what that means, but I kind of disagree with you. I think he will stick around the senior team. I mean, he could still get plenty of under-21 opportunities, but
I still think he starts.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he sits on the bench. It's just,
I mean, he's older than Dier, isn't he? So I'm not sure why they choose.
But Dyer's at least proven himself to be worthy. Yedlin really hasn't. He hasn't even trained with them yet. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
It's a little premature to go crazy on DeAndre Yedlin. I mean, I know he's a talented American player. If I was Tottenham, I'd rather have Fabian Johnson, you know, if you wanted to go that route.
I remember when Josie first transferred, the over-under was 15 goals. And I took when he first got transferred.
Last year?
To Sunderland, when he first joined Sunderland.
Okay.
I think he scored like 2 goals for the U.S. like days after they announced the transfer. And I was like, oh, could he score 15? And it's like, he's not going to score 3. So I think there are expectations for Yedlin in the same, not that Yedlin's going to, you know, he's not the same kind of player, but I think
he has to replace Eric Dier as their best defender. Right.
I think everybody needs to temper their expectations on Yedlin, which is why I put that at 2.5. I was originally going to put it at 0, or at 0.5, excuse me, and see. But I figured maybe he'd get
and, one. Speaking of tempered expectations, Liverpool are on the road. They're at Burnley, and Burnley's been good recently. Yep. Can they blank Liverpool?
Can they at home?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I mean, I'm asking you as well. Do you think they can?
I may have. Actually, I think I changed it after a while. I was going to say I was strongly looking at Tom Heaton on DraftKings for this weekend, just for that reason. That I think there's absolutely a possibility they could blank Liverpool. You know, Liverpool. You know, had a very good draw against Arsenal. It was a very strange game, though, because Liverpool should have run away with it. They finally broke through late in the first half.
Then they should have lost.
They should have lost. Right. It was very strange because it was one of those goals, you know.
Arsenal-y.
It was a perfect. It was the definition of that. They, you know, the headlines after were Liverpool beats Arsenal 2-2. And, but what was weird about it is that Liverpool played better than Arsenal for most of that game. Arsenal's first goal was a pure fluke. I mean, I don't want to say it's a fluke. It was extreme. It was extremely. It was a set piece, I believe.
That's how you know
it was a set piece that included three headers in the box.
Oh yeah, that one right. Debussy scored.
And like, Arsenal doesn't score goals that way. I mean, nobody scores goals with three headers in the box. It was horrific defending, almost as bad as the one Arsenal's defending against Skrtel when he tied it. But like, Liverpool should have won that match, and yet Arsenal came out disappointed with the draw, and not Liverpool. But
Arsene Wenger's post-game speeches are always great after they lose.
Well, it's just the same thing over and over again. We have to do better at zonal marking.
I just think we need to do a better job. And
yeah.
We played well enough for the 90 minutes to deserve the win.
9 minutes of stoppage time, you knew there was going to be at least one goal. But
how did the referee decide on 9 minutes?
Well, it was coincidentally, it was Skrtel who busted his head open and took the 9 minutes to get back in the game. But to get back to
that was my best. That was my best.
It was
French
pretty good,
accent,
actually. But to get back to Burnley Liverpool, I'm not sure where the goals come from Liverpool. Coutinho's goal, he was one of those that easily could, you know, 6 inches one way or 6 inches the other to, you know, a goal or a miss. So that one misses and Skrtel's 7 minutes into stoppage time. So, you know, that's at home also. Burnley's been pretty good defensively at home themselves. Maybe not of late, but they showed an ability to shut out a few teams. So, you know, if you're going into this thinking Liverpool has goals, who do you go with? Sterling and who else could you even think? Lallana? I guess.
Jinx, yeah.
I guess.
So, yeah.
So that's
exactly
how we feel about
your Liverpool. Your guess is as good as mine, just like the Crystal Palace strike force. I have no idea who's going to start up there or who's going to score. They play at home against Southampton, who I'm pretty sure if it's a striker, it's going to be Graziano Pelle. So tales of two attacking cities there. Which side do you want to take on this as far as Southampton's recent struggles or Crystal Palace's consistent inconsistency?
That's a good one. Well, I'm not sure Pelle plays. Just because he had a late fitness test before the Everton match and passed it, but like that doesn't give me confidence that he'll be able to play 72 hours later or whatever it is, but I guess it's a little longer. But certainly if he plays, I like his matchup. Crystal Palace isn't exactly a fortress defensively at home, so I'm just not sure how much to take out of that Southampton-Everton game in terms of whether it means Southampton is getting back to it or Everton is starting to fall apart, which is a little frustrating to not be able to get much out of that one. But I don't know what happens. I have no idea. This game could be 5-4 or it could be a scoreless draw.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I'm not going to really try to say that both, like either team has a distinct advantage. It's just... I really want to say Crystal Palace here, but in their last six games at home, just to tell you about how inconsistent they've been, they've scored eight goals and given up eight goals, and that's pretty much right in the middle for both. So it's just, you know, it's a complete guesswork game. And then you have a note in here to rank Jedinak, Bolasie and Wilfried Zaha.
That's assuming Zaha plays,
and,
of course.
And I'm not falling into that trap. I've mentioned it many times before. Wilfried Zaha looks great for 5 minutes, but he never seems to play more than four. So it's really frustrating, actually. He's probably the most talented player on that team. But I would rank it Bolasie, Jedinak, Zaha if I had to rank them. Yannick Bolasie should have gotten an assist last week against Newcastle. That was clearly onside. You know, it was so onside that after the referee blew for offside, the guy who was offside ran past the linesman going from onside to offside. It was absolutely absurd. He was onside by, like, you know how they have the big thick cuts mm-hmm. in the grass? Two full thick cuts of grass. He was like, it was just like he couldn't possibly have been to the linesman's right, which was the onside right. side. He could not have possibly have thought, oh, there's a guy standing in the stands to my right. It was that ridiculous. Anyway, I'm done ranting. Yes, I do have Yannick Bolasie in a ton of formats, so I was a little bitter. But anyway, we're getting way too far into Crystal Palace here. Let's get on to our next game here. Also, before we go, though, one last thing. Dusan Tadic, where's he gone?
Well, he was hurt for a little bit, and I believe he's still hurt, so I'm not sure they're going to rush him back at all. So, you know, you ultimately are going to have to find somebody else. You know, and they're not playing Mane either, which is kind of weird. So, you know, he's got this – Tadic has this kind of – as they like to just hide them as a muscular injury. You have no idea, like, what it actually is. But, you know, there's a possibility that he returns, but we've already said that before, so –
All right, we'll call it menstrual cramps and we'll move on here. It's Swansea City at home against Aston Villa. Ooh, a great either or. Wilfred Bony or Christian Benteke? Who you got?
I've got Bony in this one. I'm not sure if I would change it if they were playing at Villa Park. So maybe I'll take Bony at any point, but I love both of these guys. I really do.
Yeah, you have a Benteke jersey. I do. Don't even have that. But Wilfred Bony is UEFA Cup tie. We discussed this last week on the podcast. And Christian Benteke is not. Do you think that he finally makes his move away from Aston Villa? Prince William's team, man.
If you're going to sell him, you have to sell him in January, right? Like, there's always the January, you know, markup.
Well, what's he worth?
January markup.
What do you think he's worth,
though? I'm not sure. You know, he's not worth Bony.
Is he worth Jackson Martinez? I'll go across other names.
The only reason why I don't think he is because Martinez has the benefit of not having played in the Premier League. And that sounds counterintuitive, but like nobody really knows how good he is, and he looks so good.
There's mystery.
Right,
there's intrigue.
Right. And so there's kind of like a little there's markup and mystery because it's like, yeah, he could be, you know, we see exactly. Exactly.
All right. How about the $20 million or $25 million rated Marco Royce?
They're kind of different players, but...
I'm aware, but it's still a forward and you're still spending...
I don't think anybody would pick a Benteke over Royce. Even a fully healthy even a 20-goal Benteke.
So you're saying that a proper number nine, a proper center forward, if he's on form, is worth less than a winger?
He's worth less than Marco Royce. I mean, we're not just talking about a winger.
Are you saying that Marco Royce is not a winger?
I'm saying he's better than that. He's not just any winger.
I would rather have my proper number nine. Maybe I'm just old fashioned that way.
But I think, you know, it's weird that we hear, you know, Berahino's name out so much, and yet Benteke seems like a much more sure thing in the Premier League. That I feel like Liverpool and. Yeah, I feel like Liverpool and Tottenham should be throwing as much money as they can at Aston Villa for him. Aston Villa's not going to give him up cheaply, you know, even with this injury that he just had. You know, he's back now, but he'll cost a pretty penny, which may end up being just prohibitive for everybody, and he'll stay. But, you know, it's one of those things, if he wants to go, he's going to go.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. Teams moving in opposite directions here. We have Manchester United at home against Newcastle. Can Iosi Perez break through? No. Who else from Newcastle could? Cisse would be my answer to that. But what about
you? Do you think he does? Yeah.
No.
Me
I think
like we've been saying all season, this Manchester United defense is excellent. Yeah, David De Gea.
I have been saying for a long time, David De Gea has been playing very well. I still, the most valuable assets from a fantasy perspective. defensively are not classified as defenders in Valencia and Ashley Young. So that's where... So if you're talking to me and saying, hey, how's that Manchester United defense doing? They're not doing great, because if it wasn't for De Gea's, you know, standing on his head, figuratively speaking here, they would have given up 3 goals to Liverpool. They would have actually, they could have given up 3 just to Raheem Sterling. And it's De Gea's bailed them out of games even when they've only given up 1 or 2 goals in the game. So when you're talking about the Manchester United defense to me, I'm thinking Tyler Blackett. I'm thinking Marcus Rojo. I'm thinking
Johnny Evans is getting stretched now.
You know my thoughts on Johnny Evans. Phil Jones is another name.
If they're only starting 3 eligible defenders, or 2 of them, frankly, and he's one of them, you have to recognize that he's a fantasy option.
It's too much of a gamble for me, because there's absolutely 0 offensive capability. 0. I mean, he's more, if we're talking Johnny Evans especially, more inclined to put it in their own net than the opposition. That's fair. And especially because they get so exposed against good teams, you know they're going to pick up a card. One of them is. And that gives, and that dings you on more points than you're probably going to gain back. So, I don't know. I'd rather actually talk more about the Manchester United offensive options here, because we finally saw that really, really expensive front three of Wayne Rooney, Robin Van Persie, and Falcao, with Falcao actually scoring.
Good goal, too.
So, yeah, solid. And do you think that's something that can continue, first of all 3 of them playing in that front diamond? And then, if so, I mean, I wrote a note about this for my ball-watching column, which is going to be posting soon. You know, what does that do for the likes of Juan Mata, Marouane Fellaini, Ander Herrera, and even Angel Di Maria? Because now you have a front triangle, and everyone else is kind of just...
Yeah, there.
Almost an auxiliary character.
I think Di Maria still has plenty of value taking free kicks, and especially with these guys in front of him who can draw fouls, I have very little problem sticking with Di Maria. Fellaini...
At that price. I mean, we'll get to it when we do our daily dose on DraftKings. It's a really high price.
He was worth it earlier on. I realize this team is a little different because Falcao basically wasn't playing. But I don't know. We'll see. I think Mata is the biggest loser in all of this, which is too bad because he's been playing well. But
And I feel bad because he just seems like he's a really good player. He just can't find a home.
Yeah, and I'm not sure.
And maybe he's just not made for the Premier League.
Well, I disagree. I think he's shown an ability to play in the Premier League. I'm just not sure he's found the right club.
He was Chelsea's player
of the year. Exactly. I mean, you can't tell me... I was going to say he could play at Man City. I'm not sure where he would play at Man City.
He could play at Liverpool.
He's way too healthy to play at Arsenal. But yeah, he could definitely play at Liverpool.
If they want him.
No,
I don't think so either.
He
could certainly play at Tottenham. I mean,
but he's a...
He could definitely play at Everton, but I don't think he wants to... I mean, those are lower-level teams. I think he can probably catch on... You know, at like Juventus or, you know, one of the higher level teams. He can't go to Dortmund, but I mean, he can catch on another team that's a high level.
Yeah, I mean, he's been.
Even
in
Atletico,
go to Atletico. That seems like a.
Or he can go back to Valencia.
Yeah. I think he doesn't seem like he's ready to quite go back that far. He's also been linked with PSG for a few times, though I'm not sure how much he would play there either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who are you digging out?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. All right, so let's move on to our final game of the day. Your Arsenal play against QP Austin. So Charlie Austin has scored 55% of all QPR goals, by far the highest percentage in the league. In fact, I think the next highest percentage is 39% by Sergio Aguero, something like that. Oh, he's 33%. It's a ridiculous rate. And furthermore, a nice little tidbit about Charlie Austin, 9 of his 11 goals have been at home, and this game is at the Emirates, so he is on the road even though he's still in London. So we'll see how that goes. That's a really alarming home-road split. So I don't really care for Charlie Austin most weeks, and I don't care for him at all this week. What are your thoughts compared to Austin, Alexis Sanchez, and Olivier Giroux? How would you rank them?
I would probably put I would definitely put Sanchez first, but I think I would put Austin ahead of Giroux.
That's fair. It's fair. I just don't. I mean, I don't agree with it. I just don't agree with it. I see your perspective. I just disagree with it. I'm not going to say that, you know, it's insultingly bad. I disagree from a personal standpoint.
I'd like to note that he's played one extra game at home than on the road. So a hat trick this weekend obviously throws the percent, the home road splits a little differently. But yeah, I'm more concerned with Arsenal's defense.
I say he doesn't score a hat trick.
I'm more concerned with Arsenal's defense than I am with the Austin coming in there and scoring. That, you know, they're playing with either Chambers or Debuchy. Looks like it's Debuchy at center back, which is a position he learned how to play 2 weeks ago.
And scored.
He did score, yeah, but that's not a regular occurrence for him or anyone in the way that he scored it. So Mertesacker looks like he's got lead feet recently. Which he's always really had them, but Laurent Koscielny's been able to cover.
He's never exactly been a speed demon out. He's like Peter Crouch fast. He just takes really big strides.
Exactly. There's a great picture that I forwarded on Twitter, post on Twitter, that of Mertesacker essentially bending over during Skrtel's game-winning goal. That it almost looks like he didn't want to like get hurt by the ball. Like he looked like a little kid who like had a ball like coming at him and he ducked. And it's like if you're the 6'4" guy in the box, that's not how you can play defense. Like it doesn't work that way. So it's a little disappointing how they've played defensively. And I feel like Charlie Austin is just the kind of player, the form that he's in, can beat this team. You know, I don't know if I don't think QPR goes in there and takes 3 points, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's celebrating a goal.
I wouldn't be either. What's your prediction for the final score?
3-1. Gunners.
Who? I really shouldn't have asked, but yeah. I had to. Due diligence.
Well again, right, so, QPR doesn't stop anybody, so certainly on the road at least. So that, you know, there's no reason to think. They've literally lost all 8 of their road games. Losses. 0-0 and 8.
Not figuratively, but literally.
They've scored 3 goals. Uh-huh. 3 goals in a row, and they've given up 20.
All right, we are literally going to move on to our daily dose here. We have DraftKings this week. I will start with my goaltender and back two, because it's just 2 defenders, 2 midfielders, 2 forwards, and a flex. If you don't use a forward in the flex, I'm going to be a little surprised. But so for my goalkeeper, yeah, exactly. Goalkeeper for me is Kostel Pontillimon. I talked about him earlier. Sunderland at home are play much better than Sunderland on the road, and Pontillimon's been fantastic since he's been installed as the starter over at Sunderland, and he averages 9.5 fantasy points per game on DraftKings on DraftKings.com, and at 4.9, that's a really good salary for the goalkeeper. So decent value play and good matchup here. What about you for your goaltender, Andrew?
I went with Joe Hart.
You spent the money.
I spent the money because I went very, very low on my defenders, and I couldn't really spend the extra $1,000, basically $1,200, that I would save going for a lower defender or a lower goalkeeper. Didn't really help me in my forwards, essentially. So, yeah, I went with Hart, who's at 5,300. He's the second highest price behind David De Gea. But, you know, going down to Pontillimon at 49, you know, it's only the $400 didn't do enough for me elsewhere that I decided to just pay for the goalkeeper.
Yeah, yep. And transitioning nicely, who are your really inexpensive defenders?
I have basically taken 2 flyers just because if they pay off, they'll pay off big, which is kind of what you want in a daily contest like this. So
you want volatility.
Yeah, so I went with Southampton's Maya Yoshida, who is at 2,000. He got a start last week. He actually scored last week, which is...
Scored.
Yep. I'm certainly not buying him for that reason, but the reason why I went with him is because they've moved Toby Alderweireld up to essentially defensive midfielder because Schneiderlin is hurt, and they need Ward Prowse to attack a little more. So if Yoshida starts at 2,000, which is the minimum, I think that's I like the Southampton's chances, you know, on a long shot for a clean sheet. And my other one is John Stones from Everton, who I'm not quite sure where he'll go. I mean, you know, where he'll start, right, but
likely
he could, if they move Coleman up. I don't know if he necessarily replaces Coleman, but Roberto Martinez made a comment today that Stones is ready to get back in the starting 11 after he broke his leg, which, mm-hmm. you know, not the easiest injury to come back from, but it's not horrific. So Stones and Yoshida at a combined 4,500, I couldn't turn those down.
Yep, so I spent almost that much on one player, Nathaniel Clyne. So same concept as Maya Yoshida, but just with more talent. So Southampton are at Crystal Palace, and I think, you know, I'm going to do something a little unconventional like I did last week. I'm actually going to have a defender and a midfielder who are playing against each other. But I also have Santiago Virginie, who is another Sunderland defender, so I got to double up on my goalkeeper and defender. Just something I do for volatility's sake. And I have no real confidence in Santiago Virginie. I also did not know who he was until about an hour ago. So why not?
But you're brimming with confidence now.
Yep. Yep. Yes, actually, absolutely. That's exactly how I feel. And at my midfielders, the midfielder for Crystal Palace that I have is a personal favorite in Yannick Bolasie. So I know that he's playing against Nathaniel Clyne. I'm just saying that there's potential for points there no matter what. Mm-hmm. So maybe not the most volatile thing in the world, but I think that they both can get points. Maybe they both get assists. I don't know. And my other midfield slot at 8,000, this is just a bargain considering that Angel Di Maria is worth, I think, 11,000 in this format. But it's Yaya Toure at only 8,000, and that's just too much of a bargain to pass up. 11,900, so 12. There's no way that Angel Di Maria is worth 50% more than Yaya Toure in any format.
Yep, I agree.
And your midfielders
are. I also went with Toure, and yep.
You can't pass that up.
I fell into the Adam Lallana trap.
No, that's not a trap. It's not like Wilfried Zaha.
I hope not, because at 5,300, if he starts, you know, at Burnley, even though I said Burnley can possibly be good at home, I'm willing to take the Lallana upside at that price.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. I can't really fault you there. And who are your forwards?
I went with our conversation just before. Who would we rather, Wilfried Bony or Christian Benteke? My answer is both.
Both. Yep. How did I guess? And who is your flex? It's another
Olivier
forward or no?
Giroud.
All right. So I have three completely Excellent. Different forwards. Yeah, so we have really different teams for the first time in a while. I do have Christian Benteke. Actually, that's not true. I have Christian Benteke. I forgot about that. I have him in the flex. Sorry. Christian Benteke in the flex. I have Harry Kane as one forward. And I have, according to DraftKings.com, Bojan Kirky. It's K-R-K-I question mark. So I'm assuming Bojan Krkić, which is his last name. But I just thought wanted to be able to say on the podcast Bojan Krkić.
Nothing legitimizes more than you saying that.
But no, the baby-faced assassin has been actually an excellent addition for Stoke, and Everton is not exactly a place where they don't give up goals. They actually give up the second most goals still to this point at home for any team in the Premier League. So I think that there's value there, and he's only at 5,700, so I saved a little bit on one forward so I can get Yaya Toure. So that was my theory there. But anything else on your end? Any other values you saw on DraftKings that you want to mention to the people?
I was just saying how I liked Lallana at 5,300, but if you're not a believer in the Liverpool defense, Tom Heaton at 4,100 for a very cheap goalkeeper I would be all over that. And I don't, you know, we mentioned a few forwards ahead of him, and you don't like his home road splits, but Charlie Austin at 8,800, I don't think is too bad of a price. That being said, Lukaku's at 83, so maybe he's the call.
Something that I was surprised about, it's actually the opposite of a value, but Andrew Robertson is someone who I've ranked a couple times, the Hull defender, the really good young Hull defender. He's actually, if you can believe it, he's worth 4,100. So Nathaniel Klein's only 300 more than that at 4,400. That's how much DraftKings likes him.
That's a lot.
And it's a decent matchup for Hull at Sunderland. Sunderland don't score a ton of goals, but they also don't give up any. But you know, if you're looking at someone, I thought he's a little overpriced. I would have actually have thought he would have been a little bit better value. But if there's another game format and he is a value pick in terms of salary, I would actually go after Andrew Robertson.
There you go.
All right, we've nailed it. It's the Boxing Day special. You can unwrap it on Boxing Day if you wish, but it might be a little too late because you want to get your lineups in before then. So have a happy holiday to everybody out there. It is night number 6 of Hanukkah for all of those that are celebrating. It's been a fun ride for me so far, the first 6 nights. I only have a couple more, so
gotta savor them.
It's the little gifts that count, guys. The series of little gifts is better than the one big gift most of the time. All right,
that's great
and
advice.
On that note, hey, you know what? That's the way that I've been living all my entire life. So that's just the way that I do things. And on that note, we are going to end this small little gift of a RotoWire Fantasy Soccer podcast. We will be back. When's the next time we'll be back? Friday?
I believe we're going to tape Friday, yeah. We're actually going to tape on Boxing Day.
We will be taping, you know what? That is the exact opposite of what happens on Boxing Day. We are going to be taping again, but you guys can unwrap it as well on Boxing Day if you download and listen on the same day. So thank you very much for joining us. We'll catch you again on Boxing Day on the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. Thanks a lot.
For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free and it's all for you.